Yadutaham Tvaya Prishto
Yadutaham Tvaya Prishto
Vairajat Purusharidam
Vairajat Purusharidam
Mitasit Tadupakyasye
Mitasit Tadupakyasye
Prashnam Anyam Chakritsnashah
Prashnam Anyam Chakritsnashah
Yadutaham
Yeah.
What?
Utta
is.
Is.
However.
Aham.
I. Tvaya. By you. Prishtaha. I am asked. Vairajat. From the universal form. Purushat. From the personality of Godhead. Idam. This world. Yata. As it. Ashit. Was.
Was.
Tat.
Tat.
That.
That.
Upakhyaste.
Upakhyaste.
I shall explain.
I shall explain.
Prashnam.
Prashnam.
All the questions.
All the questions.
Anyam.
Anyam.
Others.
Others.
Cha.
As well as
Krishna Shaha in great detail. O King, your questions as to how the universe became manifested from the gigantic form of the personality of Godhead, as well as other questions, I shall answer in detail by explanation of the four verses already mentioned. Purport. As stated in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, this great transcendental literature is the ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic knowledge, and therefore all questions that can be humanly possible regarding the universal affairs beginning from its creation are all answered in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The answers depend only on the qualification of the person who explains them. The 10 divisions of Srimad Bhagavatam, as explained by the great speaker Srila Shukadeva Goswami, are the limitation of all questions, and intelligent persons will derive all intellectual benefits from them by proper utilisation. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the second canto, 9th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Answers by Citing the Lord's Version. Om Tadana Tirandasya Gananjana Sukadeva Goswami is speaking to Maharaj Parikshit directly. And he's been instructing Maharaj Parikshit by explaining the pastime of Lord Brahma's creation or Lord Brahma's birth, desire to know his purpose, the reason for his existence, and you know what he should be doing. These are the kind of common questions that we should be asking: Who am I? What should I be doing? And he's come to the end of that. description here. And in one sense, what he's doing is he's explaining the source of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And how that source, or those seed verses that Brahma heard from Lord Vishnu, are the basis for all of the instructions in the Srimad Bhagavatam. As Prabhupada explains here, the Srimad Bhagavatam is made up of 10 topics. And the next verse, the next chapter deals with those 10 topics and explains them in detail. And so he's saying to Maharaj, preach it, all of your questions will be answered by the recitation of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is important for us, because this is one of our, you know, the Bhagavatam in the beginning, so, you know, by the study of the Bhagavatam, or by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, is our very means of conquest. Bhagavatam is an essential element of the process of bhakti. Hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, serving the Srimad Bhagavatam, which means basically hearing, recitation, discussion of, meditation upon, you know, the practice of hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam incorporates the three first, the primary principles of devotional service: Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. Right? When we hear the Srimad Bhagavatam in the morning, then that recitation and hearing and that discussion of the Bhagavatam becomes our meditation throughout all of our daily activities. So it's part of this bhakti yoga meditation. And that's what a yogi does. A yogi is a meditator. Only our meditation is not, you know, just sitting down trying to restrain the senses. But rather our meditation is engage the senses. So, you know, this tradition, I know when I was a teenager, I wanted to be a yogi, so my idea of a yogi was, you know, stand on your head, twist your body into different poses, and then meditate. Right? Of course, you know, I could do that early in the morning, but then what was I doing throughout the rest of the day? Best left unsaid. Right? Because, as is pointed out in the previous verse, we're embodied. We've got bodies, we've got senses. You know, that there was a young man who came to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada wanted to engage him in devotional service. But he said, I've got to run, I've got to be free, I've got to feel the breath, the air, and breathe in the air in my lungs. You know, I've got to do things. And we feel like that in devotional service sometimes, that we're restricted. All these rules and regulations, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, I've got to do the other thing. But of course we've got to learn to see that in the positive light that it actually is, because the regulated principles are considered the regulated principles of freedom, as discussed in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Because bhakti yoga gives us an opportunity to engage our natural propensities to act in devotional activities, so they're connected to Krishna. And hearing about these principles and discussing these principles every day in the light of, you know, in the context of the pastimes and the stories, the histories that are contained in the Srimad Bhagavatam, gives us equips us with the philosophical understanding, with the practical understanding of how to be engaged in devotional service. Actively engaged in devotional service, so that our daily activities are connected to Krishna. So Maharaj, Sukadeva Goswami is saying to Maharaj Parikshit, I'll answer all of your questions by elaborating on these four verses that were imparted to Brahma by the Lord, and which is the basis of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Very important. Your questions. And of course, you know, everybody's asking questions. They're just asking questions from the wrong source. When they get up in the morning, what do? Well, it doesn't happen these days. We open up our iPads. Used to be in the morning, the first thing that you would do is get up and go outside and collect the paper and collect the milk. And the bread used to come later on in the day. The paper would come and deliver the bread. Right? And, you know, you go inside and have your breakfast, and there were, at least in my family, it would be whoever got up first got the paper. Right? But when Dad got up, then you had to step aside and give him the paper. Otherwise, you might get a clip in the ears. But what are we doing? You know, pouring over the... Nowadays we wake up and we don't even have to get out of bed. We just reach over and get our iPad and switch it on and look at the news. You know, because as Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavatam, people have an insatiable appetite for hearing about what's going on. They want to know, what's going on? What's happening? And unfortunately, as Prabhupada points out, unfortunately, they're seeking information from the wrong source. And so consequently, all of their efforts and activities are a waste of time because they're embroiled in simply material meditations for sense gratification. That's all the literature, you know, modern literature, ancient literature, medieval literature, whatever. However polished it is, Prabhupada makes a point, it hasn't brought about peace and prosperity to humanity. Yet people have this appetite, this insatiable appetite to consume information. What's going on? What's happening? Where am I? Who am I? What's everybody doing? The Prabhupada makes a point, and the Bhagavatam makes a point, actually, real knowledge, and knowledge which will bring practical benefit and happiness, satisfaction, and can solve the problems of material existence by focusing on the real essence of existence, and that's our spirituality, that's contained, the solutions are all contained within the Srimad Bhagavatam. And as Prabhupada points out here, nigala kalpa taro galitam phalam, it's the ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic knowledge. And Vedic knowledge has all of the answers. You know, Prabhupada gives the example. It's like a manual. When you buy a computer, you get a manual. Well, again, in this day and age, it's slightly different. You get a CD, which has got a manual inside, which nobody reads. No? And that's why they don't know how to use their computers, because they don't read the manual. But it used to be that you would get a bound folder with a ring binder and it had all of the pages in it. And if you really wanted to know how to use something, you read the manual. In fact, I remember my friend David Harper, who's a computer, I used to buy computers off him out of his lounge room. One of the guys that I met there, he said, David Harper knows what he's doing because he reads the manuals. Nobody else does, but he does. So he knows what's going on. So similarly, also, if you want to know, if we want to know what's going on around the place, what's happening in life, which is the question, what's going on? What's happening? Then we can find out the answers simply by reading the Srimad Bhagavatam. By studying the Vedas. It's the manual that goes with the universe. If you want to know how it works, then you read the Vedas. And, out of compassion. How does it describe? Vyasadeva is described as having the vision. He had the vision. He's empowered. He had the vision. And he was fixed by his devotional service. And not only that, he was compassionate. Right, this is a symptom of a devotee. That what we should be striving for. We should have the proper vision. We should see things as they are. This is a symptom of a devotee. Is they're able to understand and appreciate and see things as they are. Not bewildered, not in illusion. This is the fruit of bhakti, if you like. And one maintains that vision by being fixed in devotional service, not being deviated. And then when one sees things as they are, then one appreciates the good fortune that he or she has in being able to practice devotional service and get the benefits from it. And naturally, if you have something that you know is beneficial and you're deriving the benefits from, then you want to share it with others. This is compassionate. So Vyasadeva had the vision, he was fixed in his devotional practices, and he was feeling compassionate. He wanted to distribute this knowledge to everyone, and so therefore he was Narada Muni. It mentioned in the previous verse, Narada Muni was instructing him in succession, which means this is our sampradaya. This is our family business, if you like. To become learned, to see things as they are, to be fixed in devotional service, and then to be compassionate to others. It's quite simple. Well, simple in principle, maybe difficult in practice. Or one has to learn how to apply. We have to learn how to apply. And it's not that difficult, actually. We're able to serve Krishna. We have Krishna in the form of the Acha Vigraha. So, if we're wondering who we are, we're a servant of Radha Balabha, of Gaunitai, of Jagannath Balarama. So, devotees are, I wonder what I am in the spiritual world. What's my relationship with Krishna? Well, you don't have to worry about being in the spiritual world. You're actually already in the spiritual world, and we're already serving Krishna. And he's here. And if we think this is not Krishna, then we're in illusion. Right? Krishna is, he's personally, okay, he appears to be in a material form, but actually he's not. He's appearing, this is a spiritual form. Very powerful. And by following the instructions of the spiritual master, we're engaged in devotional activities that place us fairly and squarely on the spiritual platform. This we haven't realized. But by being fixed in our devotional practices. And that's the reason for studying the Srimad Bhagavatam, is to understand what we're doing. Who am I? What am I doing? What is the practice of devotional service? What is the perfection of devotional service? What are the symptoms of perfection? Right? We have to, you know, in order to see things as they are, we need to be able to discriminate. We need to know what's right and what's wrong. That's contained within the Srimad Bhagavatam. So one has to learn how to practice devotional service by regularly hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam and receiving its message in a submissive way, and by asking the right kind of questions. And we see that in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, how the questions are being asked, and generally the speaker is enthused by hearing the right kind of questions. You know, not which horse is going to win the fifth race at Sandown today. Well, this is what a lot of people do. They wake up in the morning, they open up the newspaper, they want to find out, oh, where should I, what stocks and shares should I purchase today? Huh? Or what horse? You know, I saw an advertisement in St Kilda the other day coming home from getting some petrol, and it said, remember when telephones were for talking to people? Right? So they'd ring up the bookmaker and make your bet. Right? But now you can gamble with your iPhone. Right? Big actually it's cheating. It's cheating. But you see how easy, you know, it's been promoted. Gambling is being promoted. And then they've got down the bottom, gamble responsibly. Gamble responsibly. It's like, you know, drink responsibly. Gamble responsibly. And that's okay. Oh, gamble responsibly. Oh, yeah, of course. Everything's okay. You know, it's actually very, very sad to see how the mass media and marketing is being used to deviate people or to distract people from their real purpose in life. And Sukadeva Goswami, Maharaj Parikshit, Narada Muni, Vyasadeva, they're teaching us, you know, that we should really be taking advantage of what we've got. Or certainly we as devotees should take advantage of what we've been given, especially in the form of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's worshipable. You know, it's said, if you have the Srimad, I mentioned this the other day, if you've got the Srimad Bhagavatam in your house, it's as good as having Narayan personally present. That means Krishna is personally present in the form of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Just as the Archamurti looks like a material form, and the, you know, people buy the Srimad Bhagavatam, but then they just have it stuck on the shelf of their bookshelf. It's as good as having the Narayan in the house, but they don't take advantage of having the Narayan in the house because they just have the book sitting on the shelf. So we take it, you know, we need to learn to appreciate what we've been given and how to actually use it for the proper purpose, for its intended purposes. and not be bewildered like the mass of, you know, the masses of people who look to literature which is not at all helpful in understanding our spiritual identity, the purpose of life, the real the proper activities that we should be pursuing. So Maharaj, Parikshit is being encouraged by Sukadev Goswami. He's going to satisfy all of his curiosity, and this is another point. This is a natural characteristic of devotional service, that one will inquire and another one will speak. And we see it in the character of Maharaj Parikshit. He was very keen to inquire. So we should also be, you know, pariprachnena, one of the this, humility should be there, submission should be there, but along with the humility and submission should come inquiry. And you know, what's one of the first questions that we should be asking? As exemplified by Rupa Goswami. Yeah, who am I? And next, why am I suffering? Right? We're suffering and we blame it on devotional service. Right? That's what happens.
Oh, I've got to get out of the temple. I've got to stop doing all of this service.
The trick of Maya is that, you know, you think it's all of this devotional service, and that if you get away from the devotional service, the suffering will stop. But have a guess what happens? It only gets worse. Right? This is Maya's trick. Ah, yeah, all this devotional service causes me so many problems. No, material existence is what's causing us so many problems. Devotional service is the means, if we apply it properly, it's the means by which we can get out of the material problems. Taking shelter of material existence just further complicates the situation. So as is mentioned here, all of the answers to our problems can be found in a systematic study of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And we have to learn how to inquire from the Srimad Bhagavatam and from the devotees in order to solve our problems of existence. And basically, we give spiritual solutions to material problems. You can't solve material problems with material solutions. It's not possible. Because material solutions they're faulty. So the Srimad Bhagavatam gives us the spiritual solutions to all problems of existence. And so therefore, you know, Maharaj, Sukadev Goswami is saying, I will answer all of your questions, and basically he's saying, I'll do that by reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's the as Prabhupada mentioned, you know, points out here, Nigama, it's the cream of the Vedas, you know, the milk. The best part of the milk is the cream. You don't see it so much in homogenized milk these days, because they blend it all together. But when we used to get our milk delivered in milk bottles, and there wasn't such a thing as homogenisation, then there would always be cream on the top of the milk. That was the other reason why it was good to get up first in the morning. Because you could have milk and cream on your cornflakes with stewed apricots made by grandma. Ooh, boy. Oh, it was so good. If it was all the Krishna, it would be fantastic. So the cream is the best. The cream is the best part of the milk. All of the milk is good, so all of the Vedas ultimately bring us to Krishna. But the Srimad Bhagavatam is the cream of Vedic literature because it connects us directly with Krishna. There are, you know, the Gyana Kanda, Kama Kanda sections of the Vedas. They're indirect processes that don't bring us directly. But the Srimad Bhagavatam condenses all of that knowledge into, you know, the cream is like the condensation of the goodness in the milk. And so when we're reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, we're getting the essence, the best part of the Vedas. And it has the answers to all of our, the solutions to all of the problems of material existence. That's and it teaches us. Here's what the universe is. Here's how it's created. Here are the personalities of the Lord, the personalities of Manu. Here's the rules for human existence. These are the topics. These are the 10 topics of the Bhagavatam. Coming to the summum bonum, liberation, protection. You know, we're all looking for protection in the Srimad Bhagavatam. We're all looking for liberation in the Srimad Bhagavatam. We're all looking for the summum bonum, the topmost, it's in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we don't need to go anywhere else for knowledge or learning. We don't need to, you know, you could go to the, well, maybe not a good example, but you can ask for one with the lot. I won't say what one with the lot, but Srimad Bhagavatam has got the lot, everything in it. We just have to take advantage of it. Okay. We're going to endeavour to, and I'm not a good example of this, but we're going to try to finish our classes by 8:30. Huh? What was it? So it's 20 past. That should give us time for plenty of questions. Or we can chat an extra round before 8:30. So does anybody have any comments or questions? Yes, Jai Jagannath.
I read the other day, Lord Shingadev, he said that I fulfill the desires of all living beings.
Yeah.
But we see that sometimes the boy's desires are left unfulfilled.
So, what's that?
Sometimes desires of the boys are unfulfilled, like Prabhupada, he had the hankering to start Varnashram. That was his last limitation. He didn't establish the Varnashram. So, you see that the boy's desires are left unfulfilled. So,
well, a devotee's desire is to always be engaged in devotional service. And we'll be satisfied if we are able to prosecute devotional service to our full, you know, with full effort, full commitment, full enthusiasm. And so whatever we do will be dependent upon Krishna for the results, but we'll be satisfied that we've sacrificed everything to please the Lord. So in that sense, a devotee, and so therefore, you know, a devotee is na sojati na kanchati. He doesn't hanker or lament because he knows that ultimately everything that he does is ordained by Krishna, and the results are ultimately up to Krishna. Right? And so in that sense, he's satisfied. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma na sojati na kanchati. Right? However, on the so that's from a material point of view, in one sense. But he's happy, he's satisfied serving Krishna, doing my best to preach, basically. This is, you know, our manifestation of compassion is demonstrated in our preaching. And that's our activity. That's very much. We have the Bhagavat Marga and the Pancharatriki Marga. So, and as Prabhupada says, devotional service runs on these two tracks. It's like a train line. So, the Bhagavat, the Pancharatriki Marga is our worship of the deities, our regulated devotional service in the morning, chanting our rounds and attending Mangalartik and hearing the Bhagavatam and so forth. This is all part of the regulated process. But the Bhagavat Vidhi, well, actually Bhagavatam is, it's regulated, but it's actually part of the Bhagavat Vidhi. hearing and chanting. But then that Bhagavat Vidhi is also going out and preaching and giving Krishna consciousness to others. Right, so in doing those activities, we're satisfied. We're happy. Right? And our desires, all of our material desires certainly, are taken care of in doing those activities for Krishna. But in the preaching mission and in understanding the Lord's desire to, you know, Lord Brahma was concerned that he was creating the material universe and it would be entangling so many living entities. But the point is that his creation of the material realm is also an opportunity for them to take to the process of devotional service and get out of material existence. So, you know, understanding the purpose of the Lord, even though we're in material existence, it also, we have the opportunity to get out, and we value that and we experience it. We experience the reality of engagement in devotional service, automatically liberation comes as a result. And we feel satisfaction from that. So we want to give that to others. And so knowing the Lord's plan, we want everybody to be a devotee. Right? But, you know, how many are there? Not enough. Right? We want to fill this room up. We want to fill up the MCG with devotees. Yeah? So we're not satisfied that we haven't filled up the MCG with devotees. But we're happy that we have, you know, enough devotees at 197 King Street to hear the truth. You know, actually, this number of devotees is quite an achievement every morning here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So in that sense, we're satisfied, but in another sense, we're not satisfied because we want more devotees. No, that's what Krishna wants. How does that sound? So on the one hand, we're satisfied, but then on the other hand, we're not satisfied. We're satisfied from the material point of view, we're happy doing what we're doing, but we're also unsatisfied from the spiritual point of view because we want to increase devotional service for everybody. How does that sound? We're satisfied, but we're unsatisfied. We're especially satisfied after prasadam. The summum bonum of the morning program. Then after that, we're unsatisfied because we fell asleep for an hour. And we should have, you know, got up and gone to Crossways. Or we ate too much. Right? We ate too much and now we can't think straight.
Eyes are going cross-eyed. So, you know, we can be simultaneously satisfied and unsatisfied. And still be happy. Right? Does it make sense? What else?
Well, also I heard that once you realize Krishna through the process of bhakti, there's no longer any need to study the Veda. Can you explain that?
The purpose of Krishna mentions in the Aham Savasya, Matasmit, no, what's the first line of 15:15? What's it? Savasya Chaham Ridhi Sani Krishna Matasmitim Jnanam Apavanam Cha Vedais Cha Savayaraham Eva Vidyo Vedanta Krit Vedavid Eva Chaham. Krishna says that the study of the Vedas is to know me alone. Right? The purpose of studying the Vedas is to come to know Krishna. Vedanta Krit. I'm the compiler of the Vedanta, which is the end of all knowledge. Right? Vedanta means the conclusion of the Vedas. But the conclusion of the Vedas is to know Krishna. So as soon as you know Krishna, you've already achieved the purpose of studying the Vedas. So that's why you don't need to study the Vedas anymore. Right? So, if you are able to serve Krishna, chant Hare Krishna, perform Sankirtan, you know, do all of those activities, you'll be able to know Krishna, and so therefore there's no need to do a separate study of the Vedas. You've already, you know, we don't appreciate, familiarity breeds contempt. So we don't understand how fortunate we are sometimes to be engaged in a service that we're doing. Because we tend to look at it from a mundane point of view. Why? And so therefore, you know, we may not study the Vedas, but it is recommended that we study the cream of the Vedas, which connects us directly with Krishna. Right? So we don't need to study the Jnana Kanda, we don't need to study the Jnana Kanda sex portion. We don't need to study the Vedas. We study the Nigama Kapatalu Galitam Phalam, the ripened fruit of the tree of the Vedas, which brings us straight to Krishna. Right? That makes sense? Is that right? You know, what qualification do we have? We, none, practically speaking. But here we are speaking on the topmost literature. We're engaged in the topmost activity. How fortunate are we? Krishna should be picking us up and booting us out of here. But somehow, he lets us stay. Wow. That's amazing. Okay, I think we should finish here. Gwanaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaurabhakta Vrinda ki jai.